Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, my Father's children. We honor the Lord tonight for his goodness and for his grace and mercies. We're thanking God for how he has allowed us once again to come to you tonight and to share of his goodness, share the good news of Jesus Christ, and to know that all things are working together for the good of them that love God, for them that are called according to his purpose. And we're thankful tonight because God has shown grace and mercy. He's allowed us favor. Amen. Favor isn't fair, but favor is real. And we're thanking God tonight that in spite of it all, the Lord is on our side. The Lord is with us. And when the Lord is on your side, you cannot fail. Amen. And we're thanking God tonight because God has been proving himself time and time again to us and have been giving us, amen, the strength just to carry on, amen, to and go to the next level. We want to talk about just for a few minutes tonight and go quickly right into this just for a few minutes, something that is not really talked about much, something that has been more or less passed around or looked over. It's not discussed or preached like it used to be, and that is suffering for the name of Christ. Amen. Our theme tonight, or our thought for tonight, is just for a little while. For a little while, and you can your scriptures on tonight. Amen. We're going quickly to the Word of God. Amen. To talk about this suffering. Amen. That the believer must endure, something that is, like I said, is not preached and not talked about. It's not a liked subject. We talk about suffering. We try to find all kinds of avenues or ways to get out of suffering for the name of Christ. We try to find easy ways out, if you will, to avoid dealing with reality. And the reality is the Bible declares and lets us know that all that live godly shall suffer persecution. Amen. You shall suffer persecution. And so we want to talk about this just for a little while tonight, suffering for the name of Christ. Amen. Suffering for the name of Christ. Scriptures tonight, I have several scriptures, but I want to give you our main scripture on tonight. Our main scripture is found in Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8, and we'll start at the 16th verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18 says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Again, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Definition to undergo of suffering is to undergo or to feel pain or distress, to sustain disadvantage or loss, to sustain disadvantage or loss, to endure pain, disability, death, or the like, patiently and or willingly. Mm-hmm. Suffering is to endure pain, disability or death, sustain disadvantage or loss, to feel pain or undergo distress or pain, patiently or and willingly, to express or to experience any action, process, or condition, to suffer change, to tolerate, or to allow. Suffering also to be defined can mean to be affected, to be handicapped or wounded. To suffer could mean also to go through pain or agony. We must come to I Am, which is God. The name of God is I Am. We must come to I Am with boldness and confidence for what we need. Just as a man does to the house of his friend, who he knows and loves him. We must come for our daily bread, for that which is needful and which cannot be without. We've got to understand that when we come to God, we must come boldly to the throne of grace. And he's allowed and made provisions for us to come boldly with confidence to him. To him, we come to him because we, one, need our daily bread, which is needful, and we cannot live without our daily bread. We must come to him by prayer for others as well as for ourselves. Job 42 and 10 says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." And we all know the story of Job, how he suffered, how he went through, and how he endured suffering. How Job went from one expression of suffering to another. And the Bible tells us that when Job prayed to the Lord, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Somebody say he turned it. And oftentimes we get selfish. We think about ourselves, and it's all about me, and God bless me. God bless me and mine. But we need to learn how to begin to pray for those around us, pray for our friends, even pray for our enemies. We cannot come to Jehovah upon more of a pleasing errand than when we come to him for grace to enable us to do good, to feed many with our lips or words, to encourage and to edify those that come to us. The best way that we can show that we're pleasing, or God is pleasing to us, or want God to be pleased with us, and we thank him for the grace that he's given us, is for us to be able to go and to talk to individuals and share with them the goodness of the God that we serve. Get out of our selfishness and begin to ask God for help for our friends. We may come with a more boldness to Jehovah in the strait, if it be that we have not brought ourselves into it, folly and carelessness, but providence has led us into it. There are times when we ourselves are guilty, and we are guilty because we, through folly, through foolishness, we find ourselves in tight places, or we find ourselves in sinful or in careless places. But there are times when it is not of our own doing, and it's not of our own folly or carelessness, but by divine providence that we are led into the suffering. We are to continue instant in prayer and watch in the same with full perseverance. The Bible tells us to watch and to pray. So we must understand that it is God that keeps us, God that takes us through the storms. Many times sufferings come, and they come because the Lord told us we're going to suffer things if we're going to name the name of Christ, that we're going to suffer. And if we suffer, he said we're going to reign with him. To encourage us in prayer, if importunity could prevail, thus with a man who was angry, AI it, much more with God, who is infinitely more kind and ready to do good to us, than we are to one another. We serve a God who is so merciful and who's so gracious that he's ready and willing to help us in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of our struggles. It is not angry at our inopportunity or importunity, but accepts it, especially when it is for the spiritual mercies that we are importune. If not now, yet in due time, if we continue in prayer. Sometimes we find ourselves in places that we don't understand how we got there or even why we're there. But it is by the grace of God that allows us to suffer and to go through the suffering with endurance, with strength, and to know that if I suffer, I'm going. If we can just keep that in mind and in focus, that even though I'm going through what I'm dealing with right now, the suffering is not going to last always. And the suffering is only come to make me stronger. The suffering is only come to bring me closer to God. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." If you are naming the name of Christ, if you are living a godly life in Christ Jesus, he said you shall suffer. That's why he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why he tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It is the whole armor of God, along with his grace and his mercy, that's enabling us to be able to go through the things that we're going through and to suffer the things we suffer, but to come out all right. We must understand that one of the conditions of this inner conviction concerning the sufferings of this walk is obedience to the will of God. If we think for one moment that we cannot or that we are not going to obey God, we have fooled ourselves. In order for us to go through and endure the sufferings that have been placed before us, in order for us to go through these tests and these struggles and these trials, the sufferings that the Lord told us we're going to go through. Remember back in 2 Timothy 3:12, he said, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, we shall suffer persecution." But in order for us to go through the persecution and to suffer this persecution the way Christ and God have set it up for us to go through it, we first got to obey God. We've got to be obedient to the will of God. We've got to be prayerful and obedient. We are so ready to reap the harvest. We are so ready to eat the fruit of the land. We're so ready to seek prosperity and to gain wealth and etc. We're so ready. Oh, yeah, we want to reap the harvest. Oh, yeah, we want to eat the fruit of the land. We want to live good. You want to talk about gaining wealth and everything of that nature. But when it comes to suffering for the name of Christ Jesus, we don't want to talk about that. Because it means suffering means I've got to go through some stuff. I've got to deal with some things that I don't want to deal with. See, it's easy to preach prosperity. It's easy to want to preach the harvest and, oh, you're going to gain and you're going to reap the harvest. Oh, it's time to gain the harvest and go get your blessings. And, oh, yes, time. It's good and easy to preach those things, but you're neglecting the beginning part of that. In order for you to gain wealth, in order for you to gain prosperity, in order for you to reap the harvest of the land, you've got to suffer some things and go through some things. You've got to endure some hardships, the Bible declares to us in Timothy, as a good soldier. But we don't want to go through anything. No. We want to bypass that, around that, or move around that. We want God to move all the sufferings out of the way and just give me the goods. But it don't work that way. Yeah, we don't want to go through anything, and we don't want to obey the word of God. Sometimes we act like we're at a smorgasbord when it comes to the word of God. And when I mean the smorgasbord, we pick and choose what we want. Some of you that's not familiar with the word smorgasbord, okay, and today's term is they call it an all-you-can-eat buffet. And when you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, you don't put everything you see at the buffet on your plate. But it's your choice to pick and choose what you want and what you don't want. At the smorgasbord, you pick and choose. You have the decision to put on your plate what you so desire, and you walk past the things that you don't want. And we have treated the word of God now just like the smorgasbord. We can choose in the word of God what we want to eat and what we don't want to eat. You want to pick and choose what we want to taste and what we don't want to taste. But we have to understand, when it comes to the word of God, we have to be able to eat the whole loaf. We've got to be able to eat the whole word of God. Even the bad thing, even the things that don't taste good to us, the things that leaves a bitter taste in our mouth. Sometimes it's hard to digest some things. But when it comes to the word of God, we got to be able to eat the whole word of God. And that only comes through obedience and prayer. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. We can't reign if we don't suffer. We can't reign if we don't deny. In order for us to suffer for him, we've got to deny ourselves. Mm-hmm. The scripture tells us to take up your cross, deny yourself, and take up your cross. Christ said, and follow me. You got to deny yourself. Deny those things. Deny the flesh is what he's telling us. And take up your cross. Take up those sufferings that I took up. If Christ suffered for once and for all, for all mankind, and he suffered being obedient to the will of the Father, who are we to think that we, to the good things and the goodies, and then expect to reign with him in the end? He said, if you suffer with him, you shall reign. But if you deny the suffering and you bypass the sufferings and you deny him and his sufferings, you will be denied yourself. But if you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. And I don't know about you tonight, but I want to reign with the Lord. Not our A-I-N, but R-E-I-N. Reign means to be there present with him, and to not suffer anymore, but enjoy the goodness of heaven, enjoy the blessings, enjoy the peace and the glory of the Lord. Paul tells us that as our sufferings abound in us, our consolation aboundeth in Christ Jesus. And the greater, 2 Corinthians 1:4-7, and the greater the suffering, the greater the comfort. Paul lets us know that in 2 Corinthians 1:4-7, that if we suffer for the name of Christ and the sufferings abound in us, the greaterness is the consolation that abounds in Christ. Our consolation, our hope, our peace, our restoration from the sufferings abound in Christ. Man cannot give to you what man didn't take away. Eternal life didn't come through mankind. Eternal life came through Jesus Christ. Man cannot take from you what he did not give you. And he did not give you eternal life, so he cannot take that from you. So when we suffer for the name of Christ and the suffering abounds in us, Paul is one of the ones that suffered great things, and he testifies of great things that he suffered for the name of Christ. But he also lets us know that the things that he suffered and endured and the things that he attained in this life, those things that he attained being able to speak different languages fluently, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, learning the different things and being very knowledgeable. Paul says, I count all these things but dung. I count all these things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus. So if we allow the suffering to take place in our life and be obedient to the will of God and allow ourselves to go through the sufferings as Christ suffered, not only are we going to reign with him, he said, but we're going to be comforted by Christ Jesus, for our comfort is in him. Greater is the consolation and the comfort of our sufferings, knowing that the sufferings of this present time is going to pass. It's not going to last always, but we have to go through something if we expect to get to heaven. We find in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, he tells us, he says, think it not strange, oh, bless God, concerning these things that come to prove you, concerning the fiery trials that come to test you, concerning the sufferings that you go through and that you must endure. He said, don't think it strange when these things come your way. Why is it such, why does it catch us off guard? Why does these sufferings catch us off guard? Why does it always have to be a surprise to us when we go through certain things and when we suffer certain things and when things come our way that are very distasteful or things that make us uncomfortable, things that push us and poke us and probe us? He said, don't stop thinking that is a strange thing that happened to you. He said, these things are not strange. I told you that these things are going to be. And if I already told you, that means I made you aware, because I'm not going to have my children ignorant concerning my promises. The Lord come to let us know that his promises are yea and amen. He said, think it not strange concerning these things that come to prove you. These sufferings come to prove us and to prove our love for Christ Jesus. And when the sufferings come, all it does is to test our strength and test our love for Christ. If you cannot suffer for Christ, then that means you don't love him like you say you love him. I know I'm going to step on some toes with this one. But if you say you love God and you have the love of Christ in your heart, but you don't want to suffer and go through anything, then that means there's something questionable about your love. As it is in a relationship. Let's take it to a natural place. Just in a natural relationship, if you love an individual or in love with an individual, that love covers a multitude of faults. Mm-hmm. And that love causes you to see past the flaws or the inadequacies in the individual, but that love causes you to see the good. That love causes you to encourage, to push, to polish, to nudge the good that's in the individual, to try to nurture and to bring that out. When someone you love or in love with falls or makes a mistake, it is that love that causes you to forgive them and to love them continually. It is that love that causes you to see past that flaw or that mistake and to work on getting past it. For if you don't love that individual, it is easy to put someone to the side. It is easy to get rid of someone. It is easy to kick someone to the curb. You cannot say you love someone and they make a mistake or they falter and you're so quick and ready to kick behind somebody else new. That's not love. No. We have been so deceived about what true love and real love is. And it is easy for people now to say they love you today, but tomorrow they hear something about you, whether it be true or not. They hear something from someone, and they rather believe that lie and believe what they heard from someone as opposed to loving you enough to say, I see past that, and I'm going to take this to the one that I love. Or yet and still say, you know what, I'm not going to even trouble them, because it is for you to come tell me this. There must be some hatred or something in you for you to bring me some negativity or some bad news or something against the one that I love. And if you're not sure, it is easy to say, okay, I'm not going to go to the one I love and blast them, but what I'm going to do is go to them in love and say, I need to talk to you and share something with you in love. And I want you to be honest with me, giving the individual a chance. And that's what Christ is saying to us, that when we falter, when we make mistakes, and when we bump our head, when we stub our toe, when we come short, he says, come talk to me. I'm not listening to the accuser, which is the adversary. The Bible declares and tells us that the enemy is constantly standing before God, constantly going before, trying to go before God with accusations against us, to accuse us of things, to get God, to God who gives us the victory. I thank God for his grace tonight, for his grace aboundeth even the more. So think it not strange, but these things, these sufferings are to come, and they come to bring us closer to God and to show everyone that his power and glory is real in us. For when we endure these tests and these trials, when we endure these sufferings and go through these sufferings, the adversary or those that are around us who said that we cannot and will not be, it shuts their mouth. For the sufferings that we go through, Christ makes us, shapes us, and molds us. And then when we suffer with him, we reign with him, which means his glory is going to be revealed in us. Suffering makes us, number one, it makes us, it shapes us and molds us. Going through submitting to the will of God makes us and shapes us to the will of God and puts us in a place of total surrenderance, moldable, shapeable, fully functionable to his power. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. This is the key verse tonight, y'all. Just for a little while. He said, after that ye have suffered a while, he said, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After we've gone through just for a while, all these things he's doing to us in the midst of our suffering. So while we're going through and we're thinking that we're going through and, oh, woe is me, no, it's not woe is you. But the Lord is shaping you. He's molding you. He's making you. He's strengthening you. He's establishing you. He's settling you. And when other storms come, when we go through this suffering and this trial and we come out all right and endure it, it takes us and makes us better to go through and strengthens us to go through the next trouble. It is through suffering that we are united to Christ. And to be united, we are complete. And to be complete in him, we reign. If we don't suffer, we're not going to reign. If we don't suffer, we're not going to be complete. We cannot be whole in him if we don't suffer through Christ. In the closing tonight, now we that have accepted and understand that these things must be, we take rest in knowing that, for one, it's working for our good, and to know that all we go through, all that we suffer, all that we endure for the sake of Christ Jesus, greater is the glory that he's going to reveal in us. Suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in you. My brother and sister, be encouraged tonight, knowing that your suffering is not in vain, and the glory of God rests in you right now. Even in the midst of your suffering and what you're going through right now, the glory of God is resting in you. He's making you, he's settling you, and he's strengthening you. Even when you feel like you can't make it, you're going to make it tonight, because his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray strength, encouragement, for these your people, strengthen them now as they go through the storm. Touch them now and give them to know that they're coming out all right, that the endurance have already been placed in them through your spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. We give you the glory, and we call it done in Jesus' name. Be blessed, my brother and my sister. All things are working for your good. All things are working for your good, and your suffering is not in vain. The glory of God rests in you. The glory of God is in you now. Be blessed in Jesus' name.